Even when we were dead, through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. This is the word of the God.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that when you are present, there is power, there is healing, there's wholeness. So Lord, we ask you now, as you are present by your Spirit, that you will come and speak to us through your living word. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jeanette. So for those of you who haven't been here for the last 2 weeks, we are going through the letter of Ephesians, and we have got to chapter 2. And the sort of title for today is Death to Life, A Story Only Grace Can Write. A Story Only Grace Can Write. There was a time in my life when, on the surface, things looked good. I had a good job in London, pretty good social life. I just got on the housing market, and from outside, everything looked hunky-dory. And I can remember the day that my mother rang me from Scotland to say that my younger half-brother, who is 10 years my junior, had just got engaged. And I thought, where is my life going? I became quite restless, quite despondent, and I didn't really feel that alive, though I was good at masking it. But underneath, there was something that I couldn't quite explain. And I remember thinking that evening, is this it? Is this what my life is all about? And very shortly after that, a friend of mine who worked for me at the House of Commons invited me to go and attend his church. And it was quite... well, there actually were only 40 people there because it had just been planted. But when we came to the worship, I saw these people worshipping God in the spirit and in joy. I didn't know what was going on in their own hearts. I didn't know that. But as I watched them, I thought, I want what you have got. You see, as Paul says, I was following the course of this world. I was following the desires of my flesh and senses. What's really interesting is, you know, since then I've often heard people say similar things. Sometimes it might be from a place of comfort. I had everything I needed, but I still felt empty. Others have said it from a place of struggle. I was trying to get through each day, but still something was missing. Different lives, different circumstances, but the same question. Why doesn't this feel like life? And it was only later that I began to understand what Paul is saying in Ephesians chapter 2. It wasn't about stress, it wasn't about circumstances, it wasn't that I need a bit more direction in my life. Because the Bible doesn't say we're just tired or lost or confused. It says something much stronger. It says we were dead. And I think Ephesians, especially this passage, it tells us the story of what it is to have Christ in our lives. It's a story in three parts from these verses: who we were, what God did, and who we are now. And today, I just don't want us just to hear these verses. I want us to be part of the story itself. Who we were, verses 1 to 3, if you're following it in your Bibles that you have brought with you today. Paul says, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Imagine walking past two houses. One's clearly abandoned, it's boarded up, it's broken, the weeds everywhere. You know, you might think, gosh, that place looks pretty dead, no one's living there. And then further down the road, you see a very similar house, but the garden's neat, it's well painted, the doors, you know, open, nice car perhaps outside. You think there's life there. It's rather similar to my last parish, actually. It was a very wealthy parish. There were very wealthy cars outside the houses and well painted. But you know, there was often a huge amount of emptiness inside those houses. So from the outside, they look completely different, but in reality, both are lifeless. That's what Paul is saying. Some of us, before Christ came into our lives, we looked like the first house, messy, obviously struggling, things falling apart. But others, we looked like the second, successful, respectable, everything in order. But spiritually, the diagnosis is the same. We are dead. Or another way to think about it. Some might be driving in the wrong direction in a very comfortable BMW, and another might be driving in the wrong direction in a very clapped-out, rusty Land Rover like we have in Scotland. But we're all driving in the wrong direction. Because without Christ, we're all in the same situation. And Paul says we were shaped by the world, by the enemy, the ruler of the power of the air, by our own desires. Now, let's be real. Our identity is often not in Christ, even though we know in our heads that we are children of God. But we often feel that we're so pressurized to be someone else. For some, it might be to earn more, to achieve more, to climb higher, to be somebody that we have not been created to be. For others, it might be pressure just to survive, to get through the week, to hold things together. Different pressures, but the same pull. Build your life without God. Be seduced by the world, by worldly things. So what did God do in verses 4 to 7? Two words, but because of God's great love. But because of God's great love. Imagine someone, I can remember myself, I was in South Africa in my early 20s and I was taken out by rough waves. It was very, very frightening as I saw the beach going further and further and further and further away. Someone is struggling, someone might be drowning. Someone doesn't shout from the beach, come on, swim faster, or, you know, get your act together. No, they go to you, they rescue you, they take you out of the water. They breathe in you, new life, if you like. That's what God does for us. Not advice, not improvement, but rescue. Rescue. There was a man who built a very successful life, good career, respected, financially secure, quietly, he felt pretty empty. Same time, same town, there was a woman struggling to make ends meet, carrying burdens that most people didn't see. Their lives didn't look anything alike at all. But when they both encountered the grace of God, they said the same thing. I didn't realize how much I needed saving. That was my story too. Because grace doesn't meet us at the level of our bank accounts. It meets us at the level of our need. On Thursday, one of my Bible notes said this: Jesus was sent in love to the world and is forever the God who sends his people, us, in love, sending peace to places of pain and presence to places of need. God's grace meets us at our needs. Paul says, God made us alive, raised us up, seated us with Christ. Think about that. It's like being taken off the street and given a seat at the king's table. Not as a guest who might be asked to leave when the meal's finished, but as family. And why? To show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. Our lives should become a living story, testimony to others in response to what he has done for us. This is what God has done in my life. People cannot question what God has done in our lives. When we've experienced God's grace, when we find hope after despair, forgiveness after deep hurt, healing of memories or physical healing, when we learn how to be generous with our time, listening to others, with our money, when our anger has turned to peace, and we find love to reach out to our neighbours. These are our stories to what God has done in our lives, and we are called to share these stories. Because it's not personal growth that we have achieved. It's grace on display. So how does it happen? Verses 8 to 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Grace, it says, is a gift. I can remember many years ago I was at a New Wine conference and someone was praying for me for a spiritual gift. And I went back to my church in London, I didn't do anything about it. And the next year I was at New Wine and someone else was praying for me. And God suddenly spoke to me and he said, what did you do with that gift I gave you last year? Because I can see it under your bed and it's still wrapped up. And he said to me very clearly, how would you feel if you went into a friend's bedroom and saw the gift that you had given them still wrapped? That's how I feel when I give you gifts and you don't unwrap them and use them. And God is giving us the gift of grace to unwrap, to offer that grace to others. Not for our sake, but for the building of his church and for his glory. And sometimes we think, we're not good enough. I need to improve. I need to clean myself up before I can unwrap this gift that God has given me. We don't deserve it, and we don't. But as Paul says, grace is a gift from God, which we can't pay for, but we can receive it and unwrap it. Child doesn't earn being part of a family. They don't say, let me prove before I belong. They belong first. And then they grow into that family. That's grace. I was only saying to someone this week how important it is to first feel that they can belong to a church family where they feel safe and be able to be who they are. And then often faith will follow. Because it is grace we have been saved through faith. And this is important in a diverse community like ours, because both wealth and poverty can distort grace. If you have a lot, you may not feel you need God's grace. If you have little, you may feel you don't deserve it. But grace says you are more broken than you think and more loved than you can imagine. You are more broken than you think and more loved than you can imagine. And then who we are now, verse 10. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ, for we are God's handiwork. We are God's workmanship. We're his masterpiece. My stepsister is a picture restorer, and years ago she restored a huge painting hanging in our large drawing room in Scotland. And it was a painting of two children sitting on the riverbank fishing with a beautiful landscape behind. And after many months of carefully cleaning and sanding and repairing and restoring, not only were the colours so much brighter, but other figures had appeared in the foreground, and there was livestock in the landscape behind. It was restored to its original beauty before dirt and dust and age had marred it. And that's what God does when we allow our lives to be held in God's hands. He restores us to our former glory from being dead through living in the world we live in to becoming alive in Christ. What an amazing truth. What an amazing picture of grace. Paul says, we are created to do good works which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. Good works is not how we earn salvation. Good works is how we express our salvation. And in a diverse parish like ours, good works won't look the same. And anyway, is Paul talking about practical good works here, or is he focusing more particularly on the moral behaviour which is expected of us? Tom Wright, theologian, probably thinks both, but definitely the latter. I think here at St Mark's we are good at practical works as we reach out to others in so many ways, in the church, in the community, in the city, and in life beyond the parish. Regarding moral behaviour, Jesus is our model, and growing in the fruit of the Spirit is not a bad place to reorientate our focus. Because in Galatians, where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, we are told that the fruit of the Spirit is the exact opposite of the works of the flesh of living in this world. It is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So, Lord, this morning, open our eyes to see how we can reach out to others. Give us the courage to walk into situations we would rather not stray into. When we do, sometimes miracles happen. Sometimes we need to lift our eyes off our own struggles and stories and listen to others. Listen to God. Be open to his calling and ready to pick up our cross each day and follow him. The route and path which God has prepared beforehand to be our way of life. So here's the story. We were dead, whether obviously broken or outwardly successful. God steps in, not because of us, but because of his love and his grace. We are saved. Not by our own effort, but by his grace. And now, today, we can live with a purpose because of what Christ has done for us. Just imagine what a community would look like where no one feels superior, no one feels beyond hope. Grace shapes how we see ourselves and others. And we freely reach out with God's grace and love, for which he has made us to do for good works, which God has prepared beforehand to be our way of life. Just imagine what that community could look like. Because that's what Paul is describing here in Ephesians. That's what the church at St. Mark's is called to be. Lord, thank you that you meet us exactly where we are, in wealth or in need, in strength or in struggle. Thank you that your grace reaches each and every one of us. Lord, help us live as people who are made alive in Christ and to reflect your love and grace in this community. Let's just be still. Let's allow the Holy Spirit just to come and touch us afresh. Maybe you've been following Jesus for a long time, but you just don't feel that alive anymore. This morning, he wants to come and meet you afresh, to touch you, to restore you. Maybe there's some people here who just feel, I'm just not worthy of it. I've messed up my life too much. And God is offering you the gift of grace. He's literally handing it to you. And you need to unwrap it and receive it and allow it to transform you. Or maybe there's some of us here this morning who are just so tired, the thought of reaching out to our neighbour, to going to places that God is calling us that just seem too challenging, to try to restore a relationship, to ask for forgiveness. We're just too weary. But no, Jesus is filling us afresh with his living, holy, equipping, empowering spirit. He says, come on, child. You're mine. I'll help you pick up your cross. Because he wants to see us all transformed more and more in his likeness, so we can be his beautiful body, his church, to witness this love and this grace to those on our front lines, in our families, in our workplaces, in our communities. So come, Holy Spirit, now, Lord. If you feel comfortable, just as you're seated, just maybe put out your hands to receive all that he wants to give to you today. We say, come, Lord Jesus, have your way with us. Come, Holy Spirit. For it is by grace that we have been saved through faith. This is not our own doing. It is the gift of God.